it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Morning. You all right? First thing in the morning, Monday morning. Monday. It has just passed 8 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. On Monday, the 23rd of February, in the year of our Lord 2026, I am joined by Little Harry, my producer. How are you, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm good.
Good. And you are the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. And you're watching The Bow Show. Or, formally, properly, Breakfast with Bow. Colloquially known as The Bow Show, Bow's Breakfast Club, hashtag The Real BBC, Locositas Breakfast Club, hashtag The Real LBC. Should we get on with it? I hope you've had a good weekend, by the way. All right, let's just jump straight in then. What is the corporate mainstream media lying to you about, at least by omission, this morning? What are they trying to pump directly into your brain box? Make you believe is important or not important? That evil cabal of editors. Let's have a look at Fleet Street. Let's have a look at the front pages of the papers. All right. William, not calm, but carrying on. That's the whole thing, isn't it? Keep calm and carry on. He's not calm, but he is going to carry on. After Andrew's arrest, his uncle. And BAFTA for Buckley. That's a female actress. Is it Jessie Buckley? Anyway, female actress won a BAFTA. I'm not going to talk about the BAFTAs much because I find it weird and gross. Like the Grammys or the Oscars. Just not interested in rich and famous people patting themselves on the back. Ugh. All right, the Daily Mail desperately attempting not to appear a slop, even though it's pure globalist slop, really. Scratch the surface. All right, there's a picture of lovely, beautiful Kate. William says he's not in calm state amid Andrew arrest drama. Okay, so Wills and Kate went to the BAFTAs yesterday. That was the dress she wore. And someone asked him about his uncle. And he said, they said, are you going to watch Hamnet? That's the film. That's the big thing at the moment. Hamnet. I'm not going to watch it. I don't care. If it won BAFTAs, then it's going to be all woke and stuff. So I'm not interested. I'll go back and watch A Bridge Too Far, thanks. I'll go back and watch Predator 1. Films I know and love. How about that? All right. The BAFTAs. The BAFTAs happened. Someone said to Wills, have you watched Hamnet? And he said, no, I want to watch it when I'm in a calm state, and I'm not in a calm state at the moment. That's it. That's the front pages in loads of the papers today, that happened. Yeah, don't mention Leslie Wexner. Right, guys? Don't mention Larry Summers, yeah? Don't mention Ehud Barak. Okay, The Mirror, again. A man crying. Because he got an award. Same thing, Andrew scandal fallout. William, I need to calm down. Who cares? I mean, a lot of people do care in Britain about the royals and what they do and say all the time. I don't. Dan Wootton, who I like and respect, and I was on his show, right? He does loads of royal family stuff. Like, is it in the Mail or the Express? They've always, every day, got a whole section about breaking down what the royals did recently, in that day. I just don't care. I can't bring myself to care about them all that much. All right. The Sun. Again, Kate and Wills. Wills, I'm not in a calm state. This cabal of editors in the papers. It's out of control, isn't it? Isn't it? Just completely out of control. It's just by coincidence they've all decided to run with the same story. Is it? It's a coincidence, is it? Day after day after day this happens. They're obviously in cahoots, aren't they? Obviously so. Why? Who really controls that? If it is as simple as the most senior people at these papers are in some sort of group, WhatsApp group, Telegram group, some other thing, Facebook, whatever it is, who really controls that? Who calls the shots in that group, if it is as simple as that? Who is it really who's saying, right, guys, today you're all going to talk about Wills and Kate at the BAFTAs and that he's not calm. You're all talking about that tomorrow. Who's that? Who is it? Someone who owns the papers, isn't it? Someone who owns the group. one of the two or three guys will decide what they're going to tell you about on any given day. It's really cynical. It's disgusting, really. Pretending to have a free press. It's not really free, is it? It's controlled by a very, very small clique of people, isn't it? That's what it is. Lie by omission to you day after day after day after day. All right, The Star. A right royal cover-up, slightly different take. Palace files could reveal Queen-protected Andy. Senior people were aware what Andrew was doing. I think everyone was aware, basically. Well, not everyone. Everyone in the know, everyone in and around that circle would have known, wouldn't they? Did the Queen help cover it up in some way? Yeah, probably. Yeah, really probably, yeah. Remember when some of the first Epstein stuff started to really break? The Queen was still alive. And she'd stand by him. Her stance was always to, not always, but nearly always, to remain quiet. If there was any sort of scandal going on in and around the royal family, or anything really, she just would rarely, if ever, give a statement one way or the other. Just keep quiet. Never explain, never apologise, sort of a thing, you know. And even with Andrew, never really a statement saying we're sorry or he has done something wrong or the we'll help police or he's no one's above the law. No, just silence. Just always silence. Never stripping him of any of his titles or anything. You think Mummy didn't know? For some reason in this country, loads of people loved the Queen. I mean, I'm a lukewarm monarchist. Very lukewarm, but nonetheless a monarchist. You know, if lefties and communists hate it, then I'm for it. Not always, I'm not that mad, but I'm a lukewarm monarchist. The institution of monarchy has served us quite well. The individual people in it, though, including the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II. We did a bit of content, it might have been a lad's hour, a few months ago, with Rafe Heidel-Mankiw and Carl Benjamin was on it, and we were doing a tier list of all the royals going back to William the Conqueror. And for some reason, I don't mean to cast shade at Rafe or Carl here, but for some reason they both insisted that Queen Elizabeth II should be in the S tier, the top tier, one of the best monarchs ever. I just didn't agree with that. I don't agree with that. They got their way, of course. But I've never really agreed with that. Like, look how Britain has declined since the 1950s, her whole reign. Unbelievable decline. Elizabeth the silent. Elizabeth the absent. Was she silent and absent when it came to Andrew? Yeah. Basically, yeah. All right, the Metro. Ugh. It's far too early. Turn my stomach. I haven't had breakfast. Oh, thank God I haven't had breakfast. After Andrew arrest, rocks monarchy. Access all areas. Cops can see my files, vows King. As email says, whistleblower told of brother's money man. Okay. How many skeletons has King Charles got in his cupboard? How many? Because he's the monarch. They'll really never investigate that. He will go to his grave never being asked pertinent questions about his relationship with Jimmy Savile. Extremely close, weirdly close relationship with Jimmy Savile. Like best mates almost, coming to visit him all the time, staying on royal estates all the time. Jimmy Savile, one of the worst paedophiles and necrophiles in history, if the accounts are to be believed. Really close friends with Prince Charles, as was now King Charles. It's not a great family, right? Your only job as the royal family is to not be involved in scandal and crime. That's really your only job. Everything else is window dressing. Your only job is to be upright, just to be not scandalous, not to be scandalised. Couldn't hack it, couldn't do it, could they? They failed to do that. Okay, the Tory Graph, the Daily Telegraph. Epstein's secret files hidden across US. Mildly interesting. Paedophile rented storage units to prevent authorities seizing material on computers. Interesting, if true. Why not just destroy it? I don't know why you... weird, isn't it, how people behave, what they do. Let's say you're Jeffrey Epstein, you've got loads of hard drives or something, or loads of physical old school photos printed out or something in photo albums, I don't know what, God knows what. And you know you're under investigation from the authorities, the FBI, the cops, whatever. Now, I'm not going to destroy it, I'll keep it in a lockup somewhere else. I'll find some place like rural Arkansas or Idaho or something, keep it in a lockup there, they'll never find it there, but I'm not going to destroy it. These people, such freaks, such weirdos. Okay. Britain faces £1 billion bill if Chagos deal collapses. Okay. So this is the thing where the Americans, Trump, the Trump administration, are increasingly making noises they're going to try and scupper the... Or not just Trump, actually, also people in Congress and the Senate. Going to try and scupper the Chagos deal. Which is interesting to me because... Of course, I would like that to happen. It's so weird that Starmer's trying to do this deal. Weird. And that I thought it was a done deal, sort of legally anyway. It's just sort of a done deal. It's just a case of finally doing it. I thought it was a done deal back in 2024. But anyway, apparently, according to various articles today and over the weekend, it seems there is still a path for it to be sort of undone and to not sort of... for Mauritius not to formally take control of those islands. And if America can do that, if the United States can do that, because, of course, Diego Garcia, that massive base on there, even though it's British, it's strategically important for the US. It's the US who's going to project their power abroad much more than the UK. I mean, we've got aircraft carriers, but we don't actually go around the world projecting our power all that much, all that often, do we? But the United States do. So it's much more of key importance to them. Why the Americans, or at least Trump, as soon as he got into office, didn't make it sort of priority zero? Why he didn't say more and do more before this point? I don't know, but there you go. There's all sorts of questions, aren't there, around that Sands QC fellow and Lord Hermer and Keir Starmer, whether they personally made loads of money in legal bills, legal fees, for representing the Chagossians in all of this, whether they personally pocketed from it, a bit of Bunsen burner, earner. Whether they made money for it, I mean, if Andrew Bridgen is to be believed, that is what was going on. Weird, isn't it? I mean, how someone like Mandelson would sell out his country for $50,000, essentially not all that much money. Or you'd undermine, like, is it Philip Sands or Keir Starmer would undermine our national security and rewrite sort of the whole global strategic picture for the sake of £1 million or £2 million or something in that order, i.e. not all that much money in the scheme of things, right? Streeting must be sacked to reset government, allies tell Starmer. It's interesting, there's a thing over the weekend a bit that Keir Starmer briefed people saying, or Starmer's people rather, briefed people saying that Starmer's thinking of drawing up a plan to sack Streeting, Wes Streeting, the health secretary, and potentially, possibly, allegedly one of his main rivals for the leadership of the whole party and country. You're the Prime Minister, just sack him. If you don't want him in your cabinet anymore, you can just sack him. You don't have to brief people about how you're thinking about drawing up a plan to sack him. Just sack him if you want to. It's weird. And that also weird. Never really heard of a Prime Minister leaking that they're going to draw up a plan to reshuffle their cabinet for the sake of one particular person. You just do it or you don't do it. Weird. All right. Reform plan, visa ban for Pakistan. That would be nice. That's a story that apparently reform, I suppose they're being pushed to the right by Restore. That they want to have visa bans for certain countries, including Pakistan, which would be nice. If they don't take their deportees back. Because quite often we want to deport some Pakistani people. Let's take, for example, Pakistan. It's obviously not the only country here, but involved in all of this. But take Pakistan for an example. We've got people that did crimes, like paedophile crimes, terrible grooming crimes, whatever. They're convicted, they serve their sentence, then they're supposed to be deported back to Pakistan, their country of origin, literally where they were born and stuff. And Pakistan says, no, we refuse, we're not going to have them. And we, and at that point, the British government goes, oh, okay, well, that's the end of the story then. Back to Birmingham you go. Go and live back in Oldham or wherever, on the same street with your victims, in the same community. So we need to be able to sort of put pressure on Pakistan and other similar countries to take these people back. That would be nice, wouldn't it? So a reformer making noises like that. This guy, Tim Stanley, I don't really know who he is, but he's come up a number of times in the Telegraph, writing some op-eds, some opinion pieces, and they're always terrible. Always retarded, Tim. Look at this. Young people must not be tempted to follow Restore. Why? Says who? Who are you? Shut up, mate. Dickhead. Right, the Times, the venerable Times. Evidence of Epstein's UK flights destroyed. Great. Brilliant. Blow to trafficking investigation at RAF bases. The story talks about how the police have gone to... Because sometimes things would be flown into RAF bases. Aeroplanes. And that the police have gone there and tried to look at all the records dating back years and years. And the RAF are just like, whoops. No, that's been destroyed. Oopsie. Nothing to see here. Yeah, there's that woman, Jessie Buckley, won an award. Well done. Well done, love. The Guardian, ugh. Ministers reveal £4 billion package to support pupils with special needs. Yeah. You need loads more money for special needs kids these days. And they'll often put a picture of a little white kid that's got special needs. Why do we need loads and loads more money? Because we've got loads and loads more special needs kids these days. What happened in 1997 to change that trend, do you think? Why, there's loads more kids with severe special needs in the country now than there used to be. Is it congenital diseases that result from inbreeding amongst Muslim populations? Can't ask that. No, there just are loads more special needs kids now. Don't worry about where they've come from or why that is. There just are loads more and we need to spend loads on it. Mad. Mad. Exact same picture of this woman who won an award. Calls for inquiry into Andrew Epstein ties. Right. Intruder shot dead at Trump residence. We'll talk about this in a bit later, but... Some kid, he was like 21, feels like a kid to me. I'm in my mid-40s. 21 feels like a kid, really, to me. You don't know your ass from your elbow, really, when you're 21, do you? Sorry, Harry. Sorry, mate.
So good.
Sorry, I don't mean that. Some people, so it's not always the case. Johnny Keats was very, very young and he'd done some very, very deep poetry. It's not always the case. Sometimes someone in their early 20s do some of their greatest sort of work in mathematics or physics, don't they? So it's not always the case. But anyway, this 21-year-old tried to break into Mar-a-Lago. He had a shotgun and a jerry can full of petrol. And when cops confronted him, he raised the shotgun at them. So they shot him dead. Well done, mate. He didn't know what he was doing, did he? He didn't really know what was going on. Made some terrible, terrible decisions there, didn't he? All right, The Independent. Same woman. Tracy Emin talks to... Don't care. Don't care about Tracy Emin. Revealed. The new way stalkers are tailing victims. Sort of don't care about this. Don't know why it's the front page of The Independent. Charities say cyber stalking with cheap air tags, don't know what that is, GPS trackers and apps originally designed for parental control has led to a surge in crimes with some victims being forced to leave their homes and change jobs. That's unfortunate for the individual victims of that, isn't it? Meanwhile, the rest of the world doesn't affect us, does it? The vast majority of people in the world, that doesn't affect, does it? It is unfortunate for the victims, of course. I've got sympathy for them, but... Well, so we need to crack down on everything, do we? We need to have a much tighter, more oppressive society, do we? Is that the angle you're going with? Is that ultimately that would be about, is it? Okay. The Eye paper. Number 10 fast-track security vetting for Mandelson despite known links to Epstein. He was so plugged in, wasn't he, Mandy? So insanely plugged in. Let's quickly read the blurb on here because it sort of says it all. Lord Mandelson was given clearance to view, quote, top secret material within weeks of being appointed ambassador to the US, a process that usually takes several months, the government has admitted. Pictures show him wearing a pass indicating he had, quote, developed vetting, quote, status necessary for his role faster than usual. Insiders say the Foreign Office was pressured to have Mandelson in post quickly. The government says it is normal to prioritise vetting. And any suggestion that part of the process was missed is false. It raises questions about whether his close connections with the convicted paedophile Jeffrey Epstein could have been discovered. Right. So it is just odd, isn't it? Okay. Preeti Patel there being hawkish on Iran for some reason. Dame Preeti Patel. Oh, I'd strip her of that. Tiny little goblin woman, Preeti Patel, says, we must support efforts to overthrow Iranian regime. Must we? Must we? Why, really? What's it got to do with us? What's it got to do with you? Isn't it ultimately a beef between Iran and Israel? Or a concern mainly for the region? Although it's not, was it? I suppose there was cells of Iranian terrorists discovered, including in Swindon, southwest of England, like last year. They do sponsor terrorism all around the world. There is that. Dame Preeti Patel, though. Ugh. Exactly the sort of person who should have never been anywhere near government. Dame Preeti Patel. She'd be in the dock if it was up to me. Why exactly did you fail to close our borders when you were Home Secretary? Exactly. Why did you gaslight us into pretending you weren't going to do that? Absolute filth. All right, the Daily Express. Oh, it's a good paper. PM agreed system that let child sex suspects off with warning. Keir Starmer oversaw the use of paedophile ASBOs, that's what someone else called it, that let suspects off with warnings, the Express can reveal. Our investigation found documents, I was writing so small I can barely read it, documents from the time, of his time as top prosecutor, saying he was, I can't read it, something and, sorry, it's too small, I can barely read it. But the point is, I did read it earlier, and I'll paraphrase it for you. When he was head of the CPS, yeah, they decided, and he argued for people that were sort of on remand for child sex crime, instead of holding them on remand, i.e. in prison, until their trial, he would just let them out. Maybe put a tag on their ankle or something, and let them back into the general population. That was in the public's best interest, was it? To do that? What a weirdo. What a weirdo. And what about these Ukrainian... these Ukrainian rent boys that burnt down your car and your front door of your old house? What's that? What's going on with that, Sakir? Not a dicky bird. Do the papers talk about that ever? Nope. Not a dicky bird. Hey guys, let's go with Kate and Wills, and remember, don't say anything about those Ukrainian rent boys that did arson on Sakir's stuff. Yeah? Make sure to omit that every day. Yeah? The Financial Times. China emerges as big winner from the tariff wars. Sure. Tehran in secret deal with Kremlin for 500 billion euros of advanced missile kit. Well, that will just get blown up by F-35, F-22, B-2 bombing sorties, won't it? That'd be a waste of money. Throwing good money after bad, but okay, it's up to them, isn't it? Bid to rebuild air defences. Rebuild, okay. Yeah, it was only last year, wasn't it, that the Israelis and Americans smashed up their air defences to some extent, wasn't it? So, weapon can target, I guess these Russian weapons, can target aircraft and drones. US forces build up in Middle East. Yeah, we know that. Okay. All right, that's the papers. That is the papers. Should we go to our daily poll? Let's have a look at the poll. Sorry, let me just get my mouse ready for the next thing that comes up. All right, the poll. What did we say today in the poll? We said, should the US tackle Mexican cartels? Because I'm going to talk about that in a moment, the Mexican cartels. Should the US tackle Mexican cartels? 81% of you agreeing with me. 81% of you say yes. 12% of you say not sure. And 7% of you say no. Who are you? Who are you? Come on, own up. Come on, who did it? Own up. Like a teacher at school. Come on, who did it? Step forward. No, 7% of people there say no. Okay, you're entitled to your opinion. You're wrong. No, not necessarily. But okay, a stonking win. That was a bit of a slam dunk, wasn't it? Hopefully the audience of the Bow Show would agree on such a thing. 81%. Should they tackle the Mexican cartels? Yes, because they're evil. They're a force for evil in the world, sort of undeniably. We'll get into it in a minute. And the Mexican government are barely able to do anything about it, or don't seem like they want to, don't have the political will to do so. They had a Mexican president a few years back in the early 2000s who sort of tried to go to war with the cartels. Didn't win. Made some successes, but he ultimately didn't win that. He didn't stamp out the cartels in Mexico. All right, so, okay. You agree with me to the tune of 81%. Lovely, lovely. All right, let's have a look then at the papers. Here we go, the BBC. Zelensky tells BBC Putin has started World War III and must be stopped. It's not World War III, though, is it, Vladimir? It's not World War III, I'm afraid, for you. No one believes that. No one buys that, really. It's not World War III. And where's all the money gone, Vladimir? How comes your parents are super rich now, Vladimir? When are you going to have elections again, Vladimir? World War III, shut up. Andrew charged taxpayers for massage with UK trade envoy, claims ex-civil servants. Things about the BAFTAs, don't care about BAFTAs. Okay, here's the story. Violence erupts in Mexico after killing of country's most wanted drug lord, El Mencho. Let's talk a little bit about the cartels. I'm fascinated by the Mexican cartels. Let's talk a little bit about it. Why not? This is actually a big story. El Mencho. If anyone's never heard of El Mencho, he's sort of one of the biggest kingpins in Mexico. Arguably the biggest one. I mean, his cartel, the CJNG, are not actually the single biggest cartel, but they're one of the biggest players, and arguably they're sort of the most violent. So just a quick backstory here. I've been talking about doing a bit of content, whether it was for Josh Firm's Contemplation series or my Epochs series, history. I was going to talk all about the history of the cartels, going back to sort of the 80s or even earlier. And I've been threatening that for ages, like 2 years or more, and I haven't done it. And I'm not sure when I will do it even though. And the reason for that is, it's extremely complicated. And that's not just a cop-out. It's really, really, it's a really, really complicated story. It's like a soap opera, to do it justice. You know, imagine if someone said, tell me about the last 20 years of Emmerdale or EastEnders or Home and Away. Tell me all the different characters and how they related to each other and what went on. The last 20 years worth of that. You'd be like, well, that would be a massive... To tell that would be a massive and really, really, really complicated story. It's like that. There's so many... I mean, there's the CJNG. Well, there's like the Sinaloa cartel, their arch rivals. There's like the Juarez cartel. There's the Tijuana cartel, the Gulf cartel. Loads of others, loads of little splinter ones. Local regional ones. And they come and go, some of the smaller ones, and they make deals with each other and then break up. And there used to be the Zetas and the Zeta killers and on and on and on. It's really complicated. And it's also one of those types of stories where if you get anything wrong, and it's fair, if you get anything wrong, people jump all over it. Because some people, it's like their whole life, their whole personality is knowing about this stuff in insane detail. You know, like down to individual captains of individual cartels. if you get something a bit wrong, they jump all over it. So to do it justice, to get it right, everything perfectly right, even though I've been reading around it for a long time, years and years, and trying to read more in-depth about it for the last 2 and a bit years, I'm still in a position where it's difficult to tell the story. Because to do an epochs is to, it's an exercise in storytelling, really, because you're always going to have to leave loads out. And to tell this story of the Mexican cartels is complicated. Anyway, all that aside, one of the biggest cartels is the CJNG. What's their proper name? The Jalisco New Generation drug cartel, the CJNG. And they're insanely violent. Insanely violent. Like, it's one of their policies to do kind of insane executions and film them and put them out there to scare your enemies, right? I mean, a lot of the cartels do that, but the CJNG go in for it big time. And I can't and won't go into any detail here because it's a morning show. But let's just say, how can I couch this in the easiest language? They do live human vivisection. Should I put it that way? Live human vivisection. So hopefully any kiddies in the room don't understand what I'm saying, but any adults will get it. Yeah, sometimes of innocent people, essentially innocent people. For example, say one of the other cartels, say the Sinaloa cartel comes through your region. You're just completely normal, completely innocent Mexican person. Sinaloa cartel come through your region. Their people stay at your hotel, your bed and breakfast, or whatever. They just use your shop. You've got no say in that. You've got no option. You can't stop them. They will kill you if you try and not serve them. And then the CJMG come through. They find out that Sinaloa men stayed at your hotel or something, or bought something in your shop. And they take you out into the woods and do live human vivisection on you and film it and put it on the internet. You didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. Evil. Evil. All right. Okay. You get the picture. Could go on and on and on, but you get the idea. And anyway, their leader was El Mencho. Nomesio Cervantes was his real name. El Mencho. And he's been their leader for a long time. I think since the beginning of CJNG, because CJNG was an offshoot of, the Jalisco cartel. And they're the new generation one, right? So he's been their leader for a long time. And, you know, one of the most wanted men. I think even the United States had like a $15 million bounty on his head. It's like a big one. It's like Escobar or like El Chapo. Guzman. Like one of the biggest kingpins. Okay. And he's been killed. Let's have a quick read of this. A wave of violence has broken out in Mexico after the country's most wanted drug baron was killed in an operation seeking his arrest. Nemesio Cervantes, known as El Mencho, was the leader of the feared Jalisco New Generation drug cartel and died after being seriously injured in clashes between his supporters and the army on Sunday. 4 CJNG members were killed during the operation in the town of Tapalpa, in central western Jalisco state, and 3 army personnel were also injured, the Mexican Defense Ministry said. Retaliation for the drug lord's death has seen violence spread to at least a dozen states, with CJNG blocking roads and burning vehicles. Look, the CJNG and these big cartels, don't think they're just normal guys with pistols and maybe an AK. No, these are guys with, like, armoured vehicles and 50 cals and RPGs and, they're like, it's a paramilitary, full-blown. It's basically a full-blown paramilitary organisation, not just a gang. It's more than a gang. All right. Throughout Sunday, there were reports of gunmen on the streets in Jalisco and elsewhere. I think I'm pronounced that right. Obviously, it's written Jalisco, but I think it's pronounced Jalisco. All right. Eyewitnesses filmed plumes of smoke rising over several cities, including Guadalajara. All right, it goes on and on and on. Look, there's a picture. Because the CJNG didn't take kindly to their leader getting killed. Some part of the story is that it was US law enforcement people that helped them out. Well, several airlines have cancelled flights to Jalisco, including Air Canada, United Airlines, and American Airlines. Yeah, it's like in a state of civil unrest, to put it mildly. Yeah, so apparently the Mexican army, the police and army, needed help from the Americans. It's often the way, isn't it? Like with Escobar, in the end, it's DEA guys that got him in the end. I know it's different. I know it's Colombia and many, many years ago, but nonetheless. Because the Mexican police and even army, to a lesser extent the army, but they just completely infiltrated and subverted by the cartels. So you need people that are uncorruptible, or at least uncorrupted by the cartels. So like FBI, DEA, or whatever, even American Special Forces people to go down there to fight the war, help fight the war for them. All right, I think that's a big story. Well, it is a big story if you're in Mexico or in the United States. Or, El Mencho, he was one of the biggest drug lords, drug barons, and now he's no more. Is it good? I mean, yes. Problem is with this stuff, is that when somebody like this is taken out, it may just lead to loads more killings and violence and murders and things. But just like any strong man, even if it's like Tito or Saddam, once they're gone, if they're dead, if they're killed for or just die of natural causes, it could be that they were actually holding things together, as terrible and violent and repressive and everything as it is. It was actually keeping the peace in various ways. Right? It's like when they got rid of Escobar, when they take El Chapo, then their organisation might fracture and go to civil war with itself and others, and loads more people die. Is it for the best that the CJNG fractures up? It might not fracture up. It might be the second in command, whoever it is. I was going to name some names, but I won't bother. Whether it will just carry on exactly as is with a new guy at the top, or whether it will fracture up. And I still think it's for the best, right? Ultimately, in the long, long, long term, because if you're going to ever defeat the cartels, the first bit of that is to fracture it up. Right? If you're going to go to war with them ultimately and defeat them entirely and make Mexico a normal society again, you'd have to start by breaking it up into pieces and then stamp out all the individual pieces. So even though if it might lead to more human misery and death in the short term or medium term, if you're ever going to beat these cartels, it would have to start with stuff like this, wouldn't it? I don't know. All right, I thought that was a very interesting, important story. Let's move on, shall we? What else have we got? The ITV news. Look, they mentioned there that El Mencho's gone. Yeah, reform to announce visa freezes for some countries if deportees not accepted. Yeah, good policy. That should just be normal. That should always have been the policy. Always. But you're not going to take back your criminals. These people are your citizens, or at least until relatively recently were. They've been convicted of serious crimes and so by letter of the law should be deported, and you're simply refusing to take them back. And then we just do nothing at that stage. At that stage, it's like, okay. Yeah, it's the very least. Again, it's pretty centrist, really. That's a centrist position to me. Just visa freezes? Is that it? Is that what we're going to do? You should threaten them in various ways, not necessarily with a nuclear strike. I'm not talking about that, but or any sort of military intervention, but just threaten them with more than just visa freezes. Sort of so limp, so weak-wristed. And they're only doing that under duress, aren't they? They're only saying that because they're being pushed by Restore. Why are they only coming out with that policy now? Okay, the Sky News. What have we got here? Ukraine war has changed fundamentally, commander says, as trench fighting fuses with the 21st century. Yeah, I said that before, haven't I? That in Ukraine, a lot of it is basically trench war and artillery exchanges, battery and counter battery fire, exchanging artillery stuff a lot, and of course the whole drone aspect to it. And very, very bloody. Very bloody. Bring it to an end. Bring it to an end. It's easy for me just to sit here and say that, isn't it? But there you go. Oh, look, there's this crazy little boy that wanted to shotgun Trump, apparently, it seems. This weirdo little freak thought he'd take it upon himself to just turn up at Mar-a-Lago. He didn't live anywhere near Florida. Apparently, he's been missing for a few days. He just drove across country, bought a shotgun on the way, procured a jerry can of petrol or whatever on the way, and just tried to get into Mar-a-Lago. Mental. Mental. Well done, Democrats, for creating a generation of people like this that think Trump is like a wannabe king or a Nazi or something. He's the most evil man ever and must be stopped. Well done. Well done. Because this kid at 21 doesn't know any different, does he? Trump's been around ever since he's ever sort of started paying attention to politics and the world, basically, wouldn't it? Would be, wouldn't it? Trump's been in and around the scene for, what, 9 years now? So he was 12 when that happened, when that began, roughly, when Trump first came down the escalator in 2016. So his whole life, he's been told Trump's evil and must be stopped at all costs. So that narrative destroyed this boy's understanding of reality and got him killed by a cop, basically. That's what that is. That's what happened there. Let's be honest. Trump derangement syndrome killed that young man. Unnecessarily. All right, let's have a look at the Daily Mail. A violinist, she got disabled after faulty Pilates machine. That's the top story, is it? That's the top story. Andrew would arrive late and only talk to young women when he was acting as trade envoy, annoying figures around the world. Yeah, it seems like he was a lech, right? An actual sex pest. Does seem that way, doesn't it? Not that he just had a bit of a predilection for ladies of the night. Seems like it's more than that, doesn't it? That he didn't have a few indiscretions. There wasn't one or two dangerous liaisons over the years. No, it's just a complete sex pest all the time. Just all the time. That's what it seems like, doesn't it? That's the picture that's been painted, largely. All right, this is reasonably funny. At the BAFTAs, apparently, I haven't watched it. Got no intention of watching it. Host Alan Cummings. He's looking old, isn't he, Alan Cummings? Oh, looking a bit old there, Al. Alan Cummings apologises. Oh, what happened there? What happened there? Right. He apologises as famed I Swear Tourette's sufferer, I guess it's this guy, yells racial slurs during ceremony before leaving halfway through. That sounds funny. If there's a clip, if there's just like a YouTube short, or it's just on Twitter, a clip of that, of him screaming out racial slurs at the BAFTAs, that'd be funny, wouldn't it? All right. Let's have a look. The Express, something about Fergie, don't care. All right. Was there much? Oh, look, they're talking about negative migration now. It was only the other day, literally. Was it Thursday or Friday? Zia Yusuf was talking about net zero migration, i.e. one in, one out. For every spade full of manure we get out of the country, reform would let another spade full of manure come in. Well, now he's pledging to have a net negative migration. Huh. Yeah, net negative. Why are you only coming out with that policy now? Because you're scared of restore, basically. Rupert says millions must go. Aim high, vote low. Millions must go. Only coming out with that now, aren't they? Because they realise that their own base are not particularly happy with net zero migration. Net zero migration is no good, is it? That locks in our demographic decline and replacement, doesn't it? So that's not good enough. But that was your policy until yesterday or whatever. Well, until this morning, in fact. Now you're talking about net negative migration. Okay, I mean, I'll take it. If it moves the old Overton window to the right, I'll take it. Not going to knock it, but it's just, why are you talking about that now, though? And why do we need Zia Yusuf to be telling us this? Zia Yusuf. Look at his businesses and how they were run. All right, The Sun. Stiff upper lip, old boy. I say. They're a German family. Saxe Coburgs. Alright, there's been a fire. Pretty much slop from the sun today, as can be expected. Was there any story that was of note? Oh, Vicious Vlad, how Russia has hit Ukraine with more bombs than Hitler dropped on UK in World War II. Well, there you go. I mean, there's an easy way to stop that, isn't there? Make a deal. So you've had 4 years, haven't you, and untold billions to defeat them in the skies and on the ground, and you failed to do that. So make a deal. All right, let's jump across the pond to the New York Slimes. Trump considers targeted strike against Iran, followed by larger attack. Wonder exactly what that means. Negotiators plan to meet in Geneva for last-ditch talks to debate a new proposal as two aircraft carrier groups. Iran could direct proxies to attack US targets abroad, officials warn. It's not de-escalation, is it? In order to prevent some sort of war, at least in the skies above Persia, at this point we really need the Iranian regime to be sort of rolling over and capitulating politically. They're not doing that, are they? Look, how Iran is preparing for war and planning for survival. Okay, if that's what you want, if that's what they want. You are dealing with a much more powerful entity, though, aren't you, Iran? That's the reality of it. It's like the Russia-Ukraine thing. It's not that I'm pro-Russian. I'm not at all. How many times do I have to say it? That cabal of gangsters, ruthless gangsters in the Kremlin. I'm not for them. I'm not pro them. They are filth and scum. Scum and villainy. But the battlefield reality in the Donbass is what it is. Same in the skies above Persia. I'm not for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, particularly. But Iran would, if they don't want to get bombed, they need to sort of fall in line. It doesn't look like they're going to, does it? It doesn't look like they've got any intention of doing that at all. Well, there it is. It's like when you're dealing with someone that's just a one-on-one. It's like someone who's insanely powerful, like Brock Lesnar. Me and Brock Lesnar in a room, and Brock Lesnar's saying, you've got to do XYZ, or say XYZ. And if you don't, I'm going to beat you up. And me going, no, right, I'm going to start doing push-ups now. No, I'm not having it. What? No, he can overpower me with ease, with one hand. I haven't really got a choice. Not really, unless I want to get beaten up. It's not nice, it's not fair, is it? It's not fair. I'm not saying it's fair, I'm not arguing that. I'm saying it is what it is. All right, Iran. All right. Okay, the Washington Post. Oh, they go with El Mencho. Lovely. Mexico's most powerful cartel leader is killed by security forces. A US defense official said the operation that killed the head of the Jalisco New Generation cartel included participation from a joint US-Mexico task force that works with the Mexican military through US Northern Command. Yeah. I believe this was the scene. I don't know if El Mencho himself was actually on this bus here. I'm not sure. Details are only just emerging now. But I have seen this burnt out bus in a few different images. All right. This is a bit of an odd one. Trump's talk of sending a hospital ship to Greenland puzzles leaders. The president has said he's sending a ship to care for Greenland's sick, but the territory doesn't want the help, and the US appears to have no hospital ships available to send. And then there's a big picture of a hospital ship. Bit weird, isn't it? interesting. There'll be more details about that, won't there? What Trump was really talking about, and what spin the Washington Post has put on that whole thing there. That's the, you know, when you read a story, and you just know that it's spin. There's more to it. It doesn't sort of make sense. It doesn't entirely add up, because it's been spun so much. That's what that one feels like to me. Okay, let's go over to Down Under. How good? Oh, yeah? Oh, go for your life, mate. Begin to Allen's long history of attacking journalists. Oh, they're saying that this politician is extremely rude to journalists. She is an insane Karen, isn't she? Obviously. Those sorts of glasses, those sorts of frames are always a giveaway, aren't they? Always a giveaway. This guy, New South Wales Education Authority, investigates a Western Sydney Islamic school after director's Hamas video. Yeah, it's an Islamic school, yeah. These people surprised. Oh, there was terrorism or terrorism adjacent apologetics coming out of a mosque or an Islamic school or an Islamic bookshop or an Islamic centre. Oh, that's a surprise. No, it's not. A board director at one of Australia's largest Islamic schools has resigned amid ongoing calls for the federal government to launch its own investigation after he posted a video of armed Hamas terrorists online overlaid with an Arabic prayer for victory. All right. What else have we got? There wasn't much in Japan or China. Well, this one. Xi congratulates Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, on election as General Secretary of Workers' Party of Korea. Yeah, he was elected. Yeah, sure he was. Sure he was. All right, the Rooskies. What are the Rooskies talking about today? We're getting towards the top of the hour. EU fails to get US and G7 support for blocking Russian oil supplies. This is quite interesting. Epstein files expose those who invented myths about Russia, says Russian diplomat. Let's have a super quick read of this, shall we? Russian Foreign Ministry's official spokeswoman, Maria Zakharova, recalled numerous accusations against Russia, adding that the country came up with arguments and facts to refute them. Then she says, the Epstein files have shed light on the, quote, heinous scum, quote, who were inventing myths about Russia for many years to divert attention from their own crimes, the Russian Foreign Ministry's official spokeswoman Maria Zakharova told TASS in an interview. She recalled numerous accusations against Russia, adding that the country came up with arguments and facts to refute them. And then this is her word. She says, they have been concocting myths about Russia. Who's they? Name them. They have been concocting myths about Russia, about the alleged threat, about crimes that we, as they claimed, allegedly committed on their territory. Meanwhile, for so many years, all this scum was nesting right inside their communities, right at the heart of them, in the most luxurious districts of New York, London and other European capitals, and in the United States of America, she said. Now that the Epstein files were published, it turns out that the real criminals, real ghouls, were comfortable inside the Western societies. They were involved in all sorts of heinous crimes, corruption, human trafficking, forced prostitution, false imprisonment and paedophilia, you name it. What, like Les Wexner? What, like Larry Summers? Controlled by Ehud Barak? Or whoever? The Germans. There wasn't actually that much in the German Post. Or the French. Le Monde keeps going with stories about some local elections they've got coming up in Paris, Marseille and Lyon. But we don't really care all that much about that, do we? Should we have a look at space news? Was there any space news? There was one or two bits. They're still prepping Artemis 2. There we go. If you believe that space is real, this is going to slingshot around the moon and come back. Well, that little bit at the top will slingshot around the moon with people in it, four people, and come back next month. That's going to happen. If you believe it, if you're credulous enough to believe that space is real. All right, let's have a look at On This Day in History. I like that. You guys seem to like that little segment right at the end of the show. All right, what happened on this day, the 23rd of February? On this day in 1455... is it this one? Yep, sorry, we got it right. Okay, on this day in 1455, Johannes Gutenberg prints the first Bible, is an estimated date, we're told there. Yeah, so that's a massive thing, massive turning point in all of human history, really, isn't it? The printing press. It began the trend away from most people being illiterate, the vast majority of people being illiterate, to, at least in civilised first world countries, most people being literate. It starts that. And the explosion of ideas as well. The concepts and ideas weren't the sole reserve of the literate. Anyone could have an idea or thought or dream up a piece of fiction, write it down and it get printed and many, 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 many other people might see it or read it. Or a different world that created the printing press. The Gutenberg Bible. Okay, on this day in 1540, Francisco Coronado's expedition set off for Mexico in search of the seven cities of gold. The cities of gold. If anyone's British and of a certain age, they'll know that song. Cities of Gold. Great kids show from the 80s. All right. Fascinating guy, though. He was one, they went up into Mexico, you know, from the Caribbean, and then upwards, northwards, into the southern United States, what later becomes the southern United States. He was the first person with European eyeballs to ever see the Colorado River and the Grand Canyon. Interesting, isn't it? Fascinating. At the time, it was considered a complete failure because he was supposed to... There was rumblings of cities of gold up there, endless gold. He didn't find it. He just found sort of small villages of indigenous Indian folk and no, not really any gold, hardly any gold, certainly not cities of gold. And like, what's the Colorado River worth? What's the Grand Canyon worth? Well, today, of course, it's considered one of the greatest geological marvels of the world, isn't it, the Grand Canyon? I'd love to go there, it's on my bucket list. I'd love to kayak down the Grand Canyon. I'm not even a kayaker, but I'd love to do that, or just hike down the Grand Canyon. That would be amazing. I'd love to do that. But at the time, that was worthless. Doesn't pay you for ships and men, does it? Discovering the Grand Canyon. All right, there you go. The Alamo. Remember the Alamo. On this day in 1836, the Alamo is besieged for 13 days until the 6th of March by the Mexican army under General Santa Anna. The entire garrison is eventually killed. I have got a whole long-form bit of content, Harry. I have got a whole long-form bit of content all about the siege at the Alamo on Epochs behind the paywall. Do consider becoming a member for as little as £5 a month, bronze tier member on lotusteachers.com, where you can listen to that if you want me and Carl talking about the Alamo for like an hour and a half or something. Brilliant, classic story, amazing stuff. Davy Crockett and all that. It's just a great story. It's just an incredible story. Santa Anna is a very, very interesting person as well. Very, very interesting. All right. What else we got? On this day in 1904, US acquires control of the Panama Canal Zone for $10 million. A steal, really. What is that? Under, what would it be? Would it be Roosevelt? Teddy Roosevelt, is it? Or is it Taft? I think it's Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah, a steal. And then later, many, many years later, when they want the people of Panama wanted to take it back, America's like, no, we're not going to have that. What, under Reagan, is it? No, we'll go to war over it, if anything. On this day in 1945, US Marines raised the flag of the United States on top of Mount Suribachi in Iwo Jima. Talked about that the other day, didn't we? The actual picture. The Pulitzer Prize winning photo by Joe Rosenthal later becomes iconic, inspiring the Marine Corps War Memorial sculpture. Yeah, there's a sculpture, isn't there? Okay. All right. One last thing, should we say, or two last things. In 1954, first mass inoculation against polio with the Jonas Salk vaccine takes place at Arsenal Elementary School in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. is an image of that. Yeah, polio was bad. It's worth having a tiny little dot of scar tissue on your arm, isn't it, as a kid, to not suffer from polio. Polio's terrible. Okay, and on this day, 1998, Osama bin Laden publishes a fatwa declaring jihad against all Jews and crusaders. There you go. If you believe that. If you don't think Osama bin Laden is basically a fiction, as some people seem to, for some reason. He's a cutout. A phantom. I don't believe that, by the way. But All right, that's the show. Let's have a quick look at the super chats and Rumble Rants. What have we got this morning? On Rumble Rants, Kalergi says, something, something, threat Iran. Yeah, says the mainstream media. Yeah. Yeah, they've got to drum up support for it, don't they? Kalergi also says, Zelensky, quote, Putin has started World War Charlie, deep snort. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's what the mainstream media news do, isn't it? Is they offer you narratives, don't they? It's never a value-free, just here's the facts. It's hardly ever that, is it? One way or another, it's always spin. I mean, it's difficult to avoid it entirely, to have true value-free, true, strip-down facts and nothing else. Because, again, it's always an exercise in what do you leave out. You're always going to have to leave out some things, aren't you? Especially if you're just dealing in soundbite headlines and stuff. But nonetheless, it's all a form of propaganda in one way or another. As am I, as am this, right? I'm not claiming to be value-free. I'm not claiming I'm not. I've got my biases. Of course I have. Don't, at least I'm not pretending to you that I don't. I would never claim that. You know the deal. You know the deal. We're right of centre here at the Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club. Hashtag Rule LBC. Right of centre. Make no bones about it. Okay, the YouTube Super Chats. Jankus the Great says, good morning from America. Good morning. Thank you for the money. Thank you for the little bit of money there. Global Church History says, on this day in 939, Diocletian began his prosecution. Ah, Diocletian, one of my all-time favourites. One of the greatest emperors of all time, in my opinion, late antiquity. The Tetrarchy, the rule of four emperors. Oh, I could go on and on about Diocletian. Oh, don't get me started about Diocletian. Honestly, I've got to do content about Diocletian. I was going to do a documentary for Lotus Eaters. My first thought was Diocletian. I'm going to do it in the age. Okay, Diocletian. Look it up in your own time. This isn't a history show. Can't go into it here. Okay, but thanks for that global church history. Diocletian mentioned. All right. Liam Sexton says, greetings from midnight semi-sober in the Pacific Northwest of America. Oh, nice, great. Pacific Northwest. So what, in Oregon or Washington State? I was watching loads of Twin Peaks over the weekend, set in Washington State, right up on the Canadian border. Lovely bit of the world. Lovely bit of the world. I visited Oregon before. Lovely. The forests up there, the mountains and forests. I'd love to live there. If I had endless money, I'd have a big mansion in England, in the home counties somewhere, and that would be my residence. But I'd probably go on holiday to the Pacific Northwest a lot. Love it there. Feel at home there. I love the mountains and the forests and everything there. But okay, all right. Yeah, greetings to you too. 44 Magnum Norse says, the UK should care about getting the rape problem under control. Yeah. And I'm not talking about letting collaborators go. Right, yeah, no, I agree with you. I couldn't agree more. Yes, we should. Some of us are trying. Some of us do talk about it a lot. Yeah. 44 Magnum Norse again says, I don't like Queen E. Sorry, don't like her. Fair enough. You don't have to. Yeah, no, that's fine. Same person again says, the only job of rulers who rule over us is not to be an a-hole. You've put the full word there. To not be an a-hole. Call me crazy. No, I won't call you crazy. No, because that's a perfectly reasonable take. Yeah. As I said earlier, the royal family particularly, it's their only job is to just live within the law and not be involved in scandals. It's your only job, really. It's the only thing that's required of you, ultimately. Global Church History says, should Queen Elizabeth II have dissolved a failed parliament? Well, to be fair, she actually couldn't. I don't think... I mean, technically, legally, she's got the power, would have had the power to, but I don't think she could have really... I mean, in the age of Victoria, in the 19th century... So a long time, you know, over 100 years before her, even. Whenever the Queen, Queen Victoria this is, tried to get involved in politics in any real way, any way, like try and influence policy at all. It was like a constitutional crisis and stuff. So I'm not sure if the monarch these days, unless they had spent a lot of time building up a whole political faction and party around themselves, then maybe, but they just came out of nowhere, like Queen Elizabeth II or King Charles III now, just walked into the Commons, Charles I style, just walked in there, asked the Speaker to step aside, sat in the Speaker's chair and said, I'm dissolving Parliament. I don't think that would fly. I don't think that would work. I think it would be there'd be a massive, massive uproar because we had a civil war about exactly that, didn't we? Whether the King's prerogative extends that far. Is Parliament sovereign? What is the body that is ultimately sovereign? Is it the Commons, is it Parliament, or is it the person of the sovereign? Well, we had a civil war about that, didn't we? Alright, interesting question nonetheless. Luke Stewart says, good day, Bo. Apparently someone tried to take another shot of Trump. Yeah, I think he only needs one more to get a free coffee. And did you get to watch the clip of the Winter Olympian Stephen Bradley? No. Do you know what? Okay, I promise you, straight after this, Harry reminded me of this as well. I'll watch it today. Because I said I would, and I haven't. I had all weekend to, didn't I? It went out of my mind. I'm sorry. I will do, though. And yeah, Trump will get the toaster oven. One more assassination attempt, and he wins the toaster oven. Yeah. It's not funny, really, is it? Luke Stewart says, look, I think the French were half right with the monarchy. Just don't get rid of all of them. You just prune the bad ones. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, they did get rid of them entirely, didn't they? Although they had a restoration. They had a Bourbon restoration, didn't they? After Napoleon. Anyway, okay, yeah. Long story. Got all sorts of long-form content about Napoleon and the Bourbon restoration. Check it out. Epochs. £5 a month. Bronze tier member. LotusEaters.com. Same person, Luke Stewart, says... for even more money, thank you for that one. Ask someone with autism a special need. Maybe you're saying, okay. I think the reason we're on the rise is because we've got rid of a lot of the low-skilled jobs that our parents and grandparents did, like factory work. We're society's mine canaries. Okay, I see what you mean. You see, there's the whole spectrum of autism, isn't there? There's a type of autism that perhaps you suffer from, or someone like Elon, or Connor Tomlinson used to say he had mild autism or something on the spectrum on some level, i.e. you're still a functioning member of society, absolutely functioning, you're literate and you know, there's that type of autism. And then there's the autism when you have to wear a crash helmet because you're just going to keep smacking your head against a wall or something and you can't really hold a conversation, can't read or write, and that type of autism, right? So they're all called autism, but it's... you get what I'm saying. Right. Have you ever seen someone that suffers from that type of extreme autism? They kind of need to be strapped to a bed for their own safety a lot of the time. And they're lashing out and wilding out all the time. It's not quite the same as Elon Musk style autism, is it? Anyway, okay. All right. Same person, Luke Stewart, said, damn it, autocorrect. I meant to say, as someone with autism. Right, I was, okay, yeah. As someone with autism, it's quite difficult for society right now, especially as you need to use speech to text. Okay. Oh, there's a big one. It's one of the biggest super chats we've ever had. George SD 2167. Thanks for that one. Boom. Fair bit of cashola there. Okay. George SD says, thanks for making my evening commute even more entertaining, Bo. From a British expat living in Brisbane. Oh, yeah. How good. How good. Thank you for the money there, George. I appreciate it. If I can make people's commutes, whether it's in the evening on the other side of the world or in the morning, happy to. Love it. Brilliant. You're my people. You're my guys and gals. The glorious band. Thanks, George. Cheers, buddy. Down in Brisbane. Oh, yeah. Right. A few more. Let's whip through them a bit. This is already 10 past nine. Kick You in the Throat says, breakfast burritos this morning to celebrate another world stage LVL bad guy. Another world stage level bad guy gone after another dip in Trump's approval. Seems to be a pattern. I guess you're talking about the El Mencho. What, they're like, Trump has a dip in approval and suddenly someone like Maduro or El Mencho gets got. Interesting, an interesting take. I wonder if that is exactly what's going on. Maybe. I suspect not, but I wouldn't rule it out. Certainly wouldn't rule it out. I mean, it seems like this El Mencho, they certainly have been trying to get him for a long time, years and years. So yeah, maybe it is weird and suspicious that it was like suddenly today, or yesterday as it was. Yeah, interesting, interesting take. I wonder if you're right. Johannes Hugenboom, I wonder if that's how you want it read. Johannes Hugenboom, that's quite funny, says, positive of being sick, up early enough to catch BBC Live, thanks from Canada. Oh, Canada. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for watching. Thank you for watching. Without you guys, it's not a thing. I always say it, don't I? But it's true. It's just so true. Otherwise, it's just me sitting here. Well, you know, without you, it's not a thing. Cheers. Thank you, Johannes Hugenboom. Luke Stewart again says, I just want Trump to add to his collection of dictators that he could set up a zoo, you know, here in my South American dictator, my Middle East, etc. That would be funny, wouldn't it, if he had at Mar-a-Lago, he had like a couple of dozen cages with all the world's dictators in them. Well, look, there's the Ayatollah compound over there. Well, look, there's Maduro. Remember Maduro, look? He's looking old now, isn't he? That would be funny. Yeah, we've got the stuffed body of El Mencho round the corner. We did taxidermying on him. It's dark. Okay. All right. Zef317 says, thank you for the morning show. No, thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you. Your tone and delivery are second to none. Making even the Black Pill news stories more digestible. God bless. No, God bless you. Thank you. It's always very kind when people say kind things like this. It's always very, very kind. I'm flattered, genuinely flattered. Thank you. My delivery second to none. All right, and one last one. The last one here then, today. Principled Uncertainty says, considering Lowe's favourite historical figure is Cromwell and Farage is a fawning elitist, shouldn't they swap party names? Good point. Interesting point. Yeah. Good old Prince Rupert. Aim high, vote low. Millions must go. All right, that's the show. It has just ticked past 13 minutes past 9 in the AM Greenwich Mean Time on Monday the 23rd of February in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been watching The Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for watching. Try and make the best of the day ahead, right? You've only got it once. You only got this day once in your life, once in history. Once it's gone, it's gone. Try and seize the day. Carpe diem, if you can. I know it's not always possible, but if you can, try and make it count. Okay, until tomorrow morning then. Take care.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.